girl, you got that sexy beast. You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness monster?
Sorry.
Or are you big?
Can you please let me hear this?
Supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago. Oops, there's that Wendigo.
Oh, very good.
Hey, it's come on after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a big foot dick, you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a big foot dick and Loch Ness monster. Pussy.
Hey.
Baby, sexy beast.
Hello, geezer, and welcome to Sexy Beast, your foray into the menagerie of the unexplained. But in this case, for the month of October, fuck!
We're not doing it again.
I'm not doing it again.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You distracted me by being such a hunk. Mark Jago here took a little penknife out and started fixing the screw on his mic.
Sorry,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it does.
Put a knife in his willy.
Put a knife on Willie, and it hurt really badly. So we're doing, this month, we're doing spooky silver screen cream queens.
Tom Green's silver queens.
When I went home...
And I googled Tom Green.
Yeah, it's on my...
He was an Arctic explorer.
Yeah, I hate that when someone mentions something you don't know about, and you're like, oh yeah, I know about him, and then you go home straight away.
I've realised that our patriotism knows no bounds. That when I found out that fucking Queen Maeve from The Boys is from Dublin.
Yeah.
And she has got an Irish, and you know, like, and like I was said to Terry last night, and she was like, proper Dublin, like, that's how my wife talks. And I was like, yeah, and like, you're fucking rooting her on.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't care much before I found that out. Similarly, looking up an Irish wolfhound, I'm like, yeah, we have the fucking biggest dog.
Of course we have the biggest dog. We're Ireland.
Yeah.
Ireland.
Ireland.
I was watching this this running documentary on Amazon Prime, where The Boys is found, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it was called 3100. To run is to transcend, or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's basically this guru lad believed fitness was the greatest way to enlightenment, and he used to get everyone to run. So these guys run around the one same block in New York. It's a mile long, and they run around it 3,100 times.
What?
Yeah, over like 50 days, and it was about this Finnish guy doing it, and he was like, he did it in like 50 days or whatever. But the guy, the judge,
so he was able to finish in 50 days.
And the guy judging it was Irish, and I googled the Irish guy, not the Finnish guy.
Just yeah, fuck Finnish, like, guy.
Yeah,
what was the Irish guy like?
Complete opposite of what you would expect of a long distance athlete. He was really pudgy. He was like, I think he was from like Meath or something. He was like, oh, sure, in this race you just have to like believe in yourself, like you have to be closer to God and all this stuff. And
that's
he
cool.
He looked like he belonged to a priest, but it was cool. Like it was, they all went to like different nations. They went to Navajo nations about spirituality, how they're running is that like they're praying, and they went to like huntsmen in Africa. I can't remember exactly where, but they were talking about how their way of life is just running constantly for days to try and hunt these animals down. It was good, but as soon as you hear an Irish accent in anything, it could be like.
Mm-hmm.
Like a documentary about a serial killer, you'd be like,
even if you hear it, like, I feel like we're like meerkats, where you hear like an Irish accent in the kind of crowd, what the fuck are you doing here? Do you turn around and say hi.
My girlfriend was in Thailand. She heard like someone order a pint, and then she ended up like spending the whole night with all the Irish lads.
Yeah,
just because it's like,
yeah,
yeah,
we love hanging out with each other.
Yeah.
We support each other. No patties in the Silver Scream Scream Queens, though.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
We should have put Leprechaun in.
Should have put, like, what's his name? Who plays him again? Leprechaun.
Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis. Should have put Warwick Davis in this as Leprechaun.
Wait, I don't think we've actually explained what this is.
For the month... Okay, if you know this, you know that this is part three. We're in the quarter. We're not fully... We're still flaccid. We're not even at a semi yet. We're at a quarter.
We can see the end of it, though, and it's getting turgid.
It's nice. We're at the third part, the quarterfinals of the Silver Screen Scream Queens, where we are competing. What were 32 is now 16.
Hmm.
16 combatants have been banished to, where do they go if they don't win?
Extravision.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
In the slot.
In the slot. You drop in your drop slot in Extravision.
And if they win, they get to go on Apple TV.
Apple TV?
Apple TV Plus, where all of the content is.
What about Amazon Prime, where The Boys are, that you did a sponsorship for?
I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, look, I support
the... Do you know what? Yesterday, actually, I suspended my account with Disney TV.
Really, why?
I think I just blew my load too early getting it, and I was like, I'm so excited for it. And then I watched all the Marvel movies, and then I was like, there's nothing else that interests
yeah.
me.
Yeah, there's nothing casual about it.
Yeah.
Nothing casual.
Like, I say it's great for my sisters who have kids.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I don't want to see, like, a mini film about Frozen, like, Olaf goes to school.
Yeah.
Some shit like that. Just, and it's like, you got to the originals, and it's literally just like, Lilo discovers yarn or something like that.
Sounds great though.
Yeah.
The thing is, outside of the things that are unbelievable classics, like cannot be refuted, that are perfect films, like the Pixar films, like some of the Disney classics. Outside of that, I loved Honey, I Shrunk the Kids growing up when I was a child. I still think it's great and the effects are great, but I'm not going to go back and watch Honey, I Blew Up the Kid now.
Yeah.
Like all the things that I liked just because I was a child, I don't really want to watch again, but all the things that are like I probably saw The Abyss when I was 10.
Yeah.
I'll go back and watch The Abyss and you know, bathe in the nostalgia of it all, but I'm not going to go back and watch any kind of like First Kid or any Sinbad film or, you know.
Sinbad, yeah, exactly.
Like I'm not going to, like I did watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit though, that's on there.
That, really, is it?
Yeah, that's on there.
I didn't like that one. Yeah. I can still watch it till 30th though, it doesn't. The only thing that kept me around was The Mandalorian. I was like, I'll stay till 30th, but then I was like, I can just
Watch it how you watched it before.
Yeah, legally stream it to numerous other channels.
Can you? You're shaking your head, not nodding. Yeah, I don't know. It's I spunked too early. I think I had money and I did the whole year thing, and then I got it for my brother-in-law for his kids and my father-in-law.
So you still got it. But you have Mandalorian because that is unreal.
Yeah, but I didn't watch The Mandalorian on that. I watched that illegally online.
Oh, fuck.
I downloaded that illegally online.
You're definitely
on Pirate Bay.
You're definitely going to have a knock on the door and just going to be like,
who?
Micheál Martin.
Get fucking trash bag. You better fucking try. I'll say, Micheál Martin, why don't you get back on Disney Plus, Mr. Burns? And then I'll push him into the app in my phone and he won't go in and I'll end up. Anyway, Mark Jago, we are at the quarters. We have a set, like a kind of, where our balls are getting taut, but we still have a flaccid penis. We are not fully at a final erection. I'm talking about penises here. But let me tell you some of the, will I tell you some of the results where we are at this stage?
Because we know these rules.
We know these. This is a bit of a reminder for you, right? Or no, wait, hang on. We're just going to be going through them all, so you'll
know. There's no reason.
Yeah, there's no reason for me to do that. Okay.
Who's editing this? Who's editing this?
Al's editing this one. Okay, so this round, I hate when you do that. Okay. This round we have, in the quarterfinal, from the film Tremors, the Graboids versus who beat the Martians. They beat the Martians in Mars Attacks, so the Graboids are in. Beating against Dracula from Bram Stoker's Dracula or any of the Draculas.
This is a pretty fucking...
They beat zombies, by the way. Dracula beat zombies.
Yeah,
which was a big up. Zombies is a zombies out of the competition round one is a huge upset.
That is,
the Martians can go eat a dick.
I think, yeah, to be honest, I think that any other creature against the zombies would have lost just because of their fucking movie presence. The fact that there's so many of them.
If it was the Graboids versus the zombies, zombies would have won.
Zombies would have won.
Like
I feel like I'm
showing my hand already. Yeah.
To be honest, this is a foregone conclusion. Which. Is that a name of a band or something?
It was the name of Brent's band in The Office.
Foregone conclusion. Yeah. Jesus. Fucking pop culture reference. Mark, just call me.
Well, I know we talked a little about who Dracula is, what he can do. Mm. Would you like to hear a bit of the Dracula film trilogy, Mark Jago?
I would.
Okay, here's an interesting fact for you. Bela Lugosi played Dracula in the 1927 Broadway show, and he was so eager to repeat his success on the stage to get the role in the movie, kind of like John Travolta as Danny Zuko, even though he played Kinnicky.
Yeah,
he ended up playing Zuko in Greece, right? He Bela Lugosi was so keen that he did loads of stuff for was it RKO, I think? No, whatever it was, Universal. Universal. Mm. Universal were trying to acquire the rights for the film. So not only did he help them ferry back and forth to Bram Stoker's widow to get the rights, so he did this for years without getting paid, he also took the measly sum of $500 per week for a 7-week shoot, and that's all he took in terms of the money for being the iconic Dracula that we know. The man who actually created the Dracula, the blur, the voice, the eyes.
Did he get any royalties or
nothing? Nothing beyond $3,500.
But like, how much is $500 back in inflation?
I mean, even though this was in the days of the Depression, it was pittance. The guy who played Jonathan Harker got paid $2,000 per week.
Oh fuck! Right, yeah. Compared to that.
But also in general, you know, how much has Bela Lugosi's likeness been used and everything that is Dracula? And also, he never blinks once in the film. If you watch it.
Oh really?
Yeah, that's what adds to his
sort of ethereal nature.
And here's a little interesting fact about Gary Oldman when he played him in Bram Stoker's Dracula. Apparently he hired a singing coach to help him lower his voice by an octave in general so that he could give him a more sinister quality. And apparently, this is a bit suspicious, Gary Oldman and Winona Ryder were extremely friendly during all the rehearsals, but as soon as they started shooting the film, they didn't get on at all. There was a break in the schedule and they came back seemingly hating each other, and no one knows as to why.
Do you think they got a little fooled around or something? Maybe he...
I think Winona Ryder was caught wanking.
He walked in and he was wanking in the spare room.
Wanking in the spare room.
Oh
in the box room.
That on my...
So that's my...
clean towel.
So that's my trivia there on Dracula. Look, say whatever you want about the Graboids. You know I love the Graboids.
Yeah, listen, I'm just going to whip out some fucking facts about the Graboids.
Give
but we know what's going to happen
We know
here.
What's going to happen here.
So it was originally called Land Sharks.
Oh!
Which I think is a pretty class name, but the fact
that's interesting, though, considering the fact that we were talking about what Jaws did for water, Tremors did for sand, we said.
Just like ground in general. It was called Land Sharks, but SNL had already done a skit where they parodied Jaws about it as well. And
bastards, SNL did it.
The guy who created Tremors actually was in the army, and he crawled up a big boulder, and he said out loud to one of the guys with him, was like, "I imagine I got stuck up here because something was in the sand." And that's how the movie
no
started.
No way. Like, floor is lava.
Yeah, exactly. He was just like, "Imagine I got stuck up here."
Wow.
Wrote a fucking... Kevin Bacon, actually, after he did the movie, he started getting really bad night terrors about creatures killing them, and he used to get start, what's it called, fucking sleepwalking. And he used to sleepwalk, and his wife had to hold him, and he was like, "There's worms trying to eat me."
No way.
Yeah. So for ages, and like, there was an interview with him, and it was about like 5-6 years ago, and he says it took me so long to get over those nightmares.
Jesus. But like, if, me and fire in the sky.
Yeah, just fucking terrifying movies. But if say we're in a big sandy pit.
Yep.
And you drop Dracula into it,
mm-hmm.
With Theodore Screams, mm-hmm. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, firstly, can I say what a glorious thing it is to be back here in the Theatre of Screams. Yeah. I'm just here for the fans. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
You look at the back of your guitar. Theatre of Screams!
Great to be here in the Theatre of Screams, UK!
Yeah.
Boo!
Boo.
SF! SF! Irish Republican Armies. Talking about Bono there. In the Theatre of Screams, which I've always envisioned was a kind of Roman sandpit.
Yeah, same as me. Yeah, yeah. Why are you laughing?
It's funny that we both visualized that without having never said it. I mean, the advantage when... Look, a Tremor could eat Dracula.
Yeah.
But Dracula has to win.
Yeah, there's no way. The only thing that could save a Tremor is if... Or sorry, Graboid. Is if... the Graboid ate Dracula and then confused him about what time it was, and then he came out the mouth, and then it was daytime and killed him. Which is, that's fucking so convoluted, and the Graboids are not very intelligent.
It's true. Like, Dracula could just be like, I don't know, Dracula's fucking weird. Dracula could conjure rain or something and have pitter patter of like rain, and then when it comes up, he could fucking jack it off.
Also, he could turn into the big shower of bats and just be plopping himself all over the fucking thing so the Graboid's confused.
I mean, what else could he do? I mean, he could do anything. He could turn into a fucking wolf. He could just fabricate. Dracula is just so ambiguously gifted as a monster. The Graboid, as we've seen, can be bested by eating actual dynamite. It's that dumb.
Yeah. It's pretty dumb. But also, a new Tremors is coming out.
What?
This month.
Baga?
And it's based on an island, which sort of defeats the purpose of, like, how did they get to the island?
Oh, yeah. They could just leave the island.
Yeah. Oh, just get on the water. Unless it's, like, swimming. Yeah, so that I'm going to Dracula.
Yeah, I'm going to Dracula. Look, there is no... Yeah. Great. Congratulations to Dracula. Next up, we have The Blair Witch. Woo-hoo! Versus King Kong. The Blair Witch, you might remember from the last round, was the Scorpion King. We got rid of that, beat Jack Frost, and King Kong beat the aliens, the Harvesters, from Independence Day. King Kong and the Harvesters, people who two monsters who do not respect buildings.
Yeah, just like to fucking blow them. Well, no, well, one climbed up gently with his girlfriend.
Well, I'll have you know that the CGI version of the Empire State Building in Peter Jackson's King Kong took 18 months to be crafted in CGI. And the real thing was actually only built in 14 months.
It's pretty mad that, like, CGI takes so long. Like, what is this, fucking 3 months to do, like, a tiny scene? Like, I know it's 24 frames per second. And I know you have to fucking extrapolate for shadows and shit like that. But some CG is shite and it should take 10 minutes.
Well, you need to get those... You need to crack the fucking whip in wetter, man, and give the guy to fucking hurry the fuck up. Make it quicker. please. Similarly to what you said about the guy who created Tremors, thinking of the last scene and then writing a film backwards, Marion C. Cooper, when he first created King Kong, said the first vision of the film was an ape on top of the world's tallest tower fighting airplanes, and he just worked backwards from there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That is very interesting. That I just said. Very interesting that I said it there. And both the 2003 and 2000... No, it wasn't 2003. When was Peter King Kong? 2013?
Yeah, it was pretty early.
No, maybe, I don't know. But basically, Peter Jackson's and the original King Kong both use the effect for his roar as it's a lion's roar played backwards.
Oh, really?
I forgot that's how his King Kong goes.
His classic noise.
So?
It's against Blair Witch. Now, you have... No.
I prefer... The Blair Witch.
Yeah, see, it's a reverse there. The thing is, though, you do, yeah, King Kong, massive, he's class.
He's very big.
He's basically a giant gorilla. That's it.
Yeah.
That's his thing. The Blair Witch is a supernatural being that can control bipedal supernatural being that can control time, space, and distort views. Like, you know what I mean? Speaking of the film, though, I have a bit of facts here now. It was an unusual casting process. So the people who were cast, they were brought into a room and they were told that the casting directors were their parole board and they've been in prison for 10 years and they had to try and convince the people to let them out of prison.
What?
And if they didn't get let out of prison, they weren't hired.
No way.
That's pretty cool. They also used real hair and teeth for the little idols that were strewn around and loads of them went missing without the filmmakers knowing.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird. It's a well-known fact that, like, they were given, like, a rough outline of the movie and then they were told, but they were given GPS coordinates and they had to go to the GPS coordinates and it was like an update. So a lot of the noises when they're in tents and they're crying is, like, real. They also had a safe word that if they were too scared, they'd say, and then the, like, filmmakers would stop recording and stuff. So if they said the word taco, as filmmakers would stop playing scary noises and stuff, which sort of like when you're watching it, you're just like, just say taco.
Yeah.
Just say taco, guys.
Just say taco, babe. So they made the film. They shot and made the film. And then this guy's like, hey, I fucking came up with the Blair Witch. I made the Blair Witch. They made, your man who looks like fucking Joshua Jackson made the Blair Witch.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy who looks like the fucking stoner in all those films. There was all that old stoner.
There is a bit of like, yeah, okay, whatever. They create a film and stuff. But if the actors were shit, it wouldn't be a good movie. It's the fact that the sort of real, like, you're the fucking snot out your one's nose is such an iconic scene that, fuck it. Again, I said to myself, don't say iconic, Mark, because it's like, that's what I go to. It's real and iconic.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
But. Yeah, they made the actors were so good in it. Now, unfortunately, only one of them is still acting. I think one of the actors went on Conan O'Brien and announced that he quit his job on Conan O'Brien's show. He's like, I quit my... He moved furniture for a living. No way. He says, I quit my job. And then, like, about 3 months later, he had to take it up again because his acting career didn't take off.
Yeah, I mean, when you kind of have 19 hours of you kind of improvising and then they just take, like, the best 90 minutes.
Like, I could act for a whole year and then someone could make a masterpiece.
They could. You know what I mean? You know, they'd have to be very good.
I'm still looking for short films that would include me for the bet I met with Tony where I'd make an...
Oh, yeah. Man, I drink far too much on this show. I prefer the Blair. I don't know.
No, like, again, well, welcome, Theatre Screams, we love you. Drop them in.
Yeah.
King Kong's running around in circles. Blair Witch, you can't even see him. And then King Kong's back in his childhood home and his dad's beating him.
Oh my God.
And then he's like fucking gone insane.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean?
Look, I think I totally know, but I totally respect the looking at this in terms of a competition in the theater of screams. But I think at the end of the day, I'm going to have to fight for King Kong in this because what I believe is, even though The Blair Witch is one of my favorite horror films of all time, that's a horror film. We're talking movie monsters here. King Kong was one of the first, but also got it straight away, which is to understand and have sympathy for being a monster. It isn't just a... like, there's been years of just brainless... like, what is the Blair Witch's intention? I love the fact that King Kong's intention has just been misconstrued because he's just a big, magnificent beast that we can't comprehend what he wants.
Is this going to turn into some mad, like...
I'm not going to fuck him.
I knew it. No, but...
But in the same way, like, it has reverence. It has admiration for monsters. The Blair Witch is so scary as fuck.
You have to, like, before The Blair Witch came out, this found footage, like, sort of format was unheard of. It was just, like, people in that town thought those three people actually died, and they sent out search parties to try and look for them. Like, well, not government-sanctioned search party. They were just their mates going out to look for them. So, and the fact that at the start of the movie, you're like, based on a true story, or this is the actual footage from what I said. Like, this changed the genre. And, like, you can think of how... King Kong in this, in regards to it has a lot of stuff that has been built on that. But same with Blair Witch. I think King Kong back for the 1920s, that's crazy. But for the iPod generation...
The impact of King Kong far outweighs doing fucking Paranormal Activity 4. You know, it is just... It's if you think Hollywood, it's King Kong with a top hat on top of the fucking thing. Beauty that
what,
killed
what
the
movies
beast.
Would you attribute to King Kong?
I think if you look at where it came, where was it 1933? I mean, we have other people in this competition that you would relate. The Rancor, Godzilla, even to elements I'd have to say... The Werewolf of American Werewolf in London, where he's on the rampage. I don't think these exist without King Kong. The Blair Witch is an interesting, spooky take, but this is flat. This is flat.
Yeah, I'll give you with that closing argument. I'll give you King Kong. I do. Yeah, I agree with you. When you said the werewolf, I was just like the fact that there's like a love interest in the fact that he's trying to tame the beast. You know, it wasn't. It wasn't man who killed the beast. It was beauty.
It was beauty that killed the beast. Congratulations, King Kong. You will be fighting against Dracula in the semifinals.
Give me your best King Kong noise.
Okay, next up. The Brundlefly from The Fly versus Gogila. Gogila.
I love The Fly, and I actually watched it again as we before we... Sorry for recording this.
I need to rewatch it again. Is it good?
It's so good, and it's so funny. Do you know it's produced by Mel Brooks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and he came up with the most iconic line, which I didn't even know it was from the movie until I heard it, and I had to Google it. And then it's been spread around. Do you ever hear it, like, be afraid, be very afraid? That's The Fly.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Like, Mel Brooks came up with that line for the movie.
No way.
Yeah. And Jeff Goldblum was supposed to be... all the studios didn't want him, and they thought that it would make it flop if Jeff Goldblum was doing it. And the makeup artists or the special effects lads didn't like him because he had two big features. His feature, he has a very like prominent nose and bourbon ears and stuff, and they thought that the features would make him look a bit like a man in makeup rather than he's transforming. Another thing, do you know the baboon scene?
Yep.
So the baboons that are was in the transporter, and the lights started flashing, and it started going mental. It ripped the door off its prop transporter and started going wild. And Jeff Goldblum calmed it down.
Really?
Not even the animal trainer, the Jeff Goldblum.
But he gives him a big hug in the film.
Yeah. So it was like, so that was a separate scene, but apparently during it, he was like, Jeff Goldblum's really one with animals. Also, Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis were actually going out at the time.
That's a fucking hot, big featured couple. Imagine a kid coming out with his eyes and her lips.
Boom. Gina Davis has the biggest, widest face, but like it suits her so much.
I love her big head.
In it goes right up my grill. No, sorry.
No.
Do you know in what's it called? Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
I love when she's like, she pulls her face out and stuff like that. I just love Gina Davis.
Yeah, she's
great.
What
was the last thing she was in?
I don't know. She hasn't been fairly, I don't know. I don't know.
She's on a TV. She was on a TV show. So
do you know actors that. Apparently Aaron was telling me this, that that if you actually meet actors, you'll see that their heads are unbelievably big.
What,
really? All the actors that you see on TV, they are actors because their faces are absolutely huge. If you saw them around, you'd be like, that person's fucking head is really big. That's how people, that's why it kind of looks good on TV,
because it translates faces. Well on screen.
It's like if you're a goalkeeper, you have to be tall. If you're an actor, you have to have a big, massive fucking head.
I've got a massive head.
I think my son is going to win an Oscar then.
I got a massive head.
A massive head. You do have a big head.
Yeah.
I love The Fly. I haven't re-seen it, but let me tell you about Godzilla, unless you have more to tell me about The Fly.
No, Kamen Baboon. That's my last note.
So, a few interesting facts here. The animal roars for Godzilla were made by rubbing a coarse resin-coated leather glove up and down the strings of a bass.
Oh, there's a Reddit for that somewhere.
Mm?
There's a Reddit for that somewhere.
Oof, yeah.
Slash a coarse leather glove over her bass.
And his thunderous footsteps were made by beating a kettle drum with a knotted rope. Apparently, there was a couple of options that Godzilla could have been. Originally, was going to be a giant mutated octopus. The
Watch
Japs
that.
Would love that. Mm. Japanese.
Al, can you please actually edit that out?
The Japanese would love that. And there was also going to be a Batman versus Godzilla crossover movie. But it was never Batman versus Godzilla, but it was never produced.
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be unreal. Did you ever see the Batman ninja movie?
No.
The animated movie. Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good. I heard it was really good. IGN gave it 10, I think.
Yeah, it's so good. It's just the animation's so good. The story's pretty fucking anime in a way, like just like, oh, you kill it.
Oh, yeah.
But the animation is unreal.
I remember there was a Marvel manga series where it was like they got these manga artists to do like it was kind of like a Civil War level crossover, but it was like Marvel manga. And I think I wore the copy out because of the size of the jabs that they used to draw. All like, you'd have Rogue in there now, and like, you know, all the X-Men, Storm, but like it was just like, it was a level of jabs I'd never seen before.
There's,
and I wore it out.
Do you ever play Soul Calibur?
Yes.
So
Ivy and her jiggly boobs.
Yeah, like when I was younger, like I played.
You can
the
turn
first
the jiggle
one.
Off.
Yeah, why would you want to?
Why would you ever want to? Watch you from Roger Rabbit as well. The jiggles in that as well.
I used to play her, and like I got really good with her. And like I'd be playing against people, and people were like, "Oh, why are you so good with her?" I was like, "Staring her."
I can even play it one handed. look,
let's drop them into the theater. Screams.
Godzilla wins, but I prefer the Brundlefly.
Even when
I
he's
want the fly in there.
Even when he is at his utmost flyish, he's against Godzilla, and Godzilla's like,
if you look at the kind of, I feel like if you look at the, there's an analogy to be made in all of these monsters. I think that's the appeal.
Oh yeah,
like Godzilla. I don't get. I think it's.
I think that's because you have, like, Godzilla is about
been
nuked nuclear.
Before.
Yeah, no, not even nuked. You like, there's no threat of like another country. Well, fucking. Another country taking over your country, you know. Oh, yeah. You've never had that, you know.
No, I haven't had that. And you know, Godzilla has scars on his side to resemble the Nagasaki and Hiroshima fire burns.
Oh, so you've listened to the last episode?
Pardon?
You've listened to our last episode?
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I obviously wasn't paying attention. I think, what was it, Godzilla against someone else, and I didn't have any information. Marshmallow Man. I was googling Marshmallow Man at the same time.
No, but I think The Fly is as a primo body horror sort of shock, like where science has gone too far. Mm-hmm. They sort of similar in regards to that. Yeah, yeah, science has gone too far, but we can't control it. I do think there is like Godzilla is a bit like the power of science in the future, whereas The Fly is more like trying to retain our humanity mm-hmm. as science loses control. Do you know, like, I think Godzilla is sort of King Kong-y. I know. Yeah, we already have King Kong in it. Why would we want?
I know. Why would we have Godzilla? I mean, Godzilla came from the fact that King Kong had come out.
Yeah.
And the fact that they wanted to do, I think, originally, like, they wanted to do that kind of stop motion kind of King Kong. And then they were like, no, it's going to take too long. We don't have the money for that. And then they did the fucking suit.
Yeah. You
know? So even the fact that that exists, they were like, how can we do King Kong? You know?
The only thing that is, like, there has been The Fly and The Fly 2. And then that's sort of dead. There is a lot of sort of like The Relic and stuff where people turn into, but Cronenberg. Did Cronenberg?
Yeah. If you scoop Godzilla out of this, it leaves a bigger crevice out of the horror movie monster lexicon, or even just the movie monster lexicon, not necessarily horror. If you get rid of Godzilla, that is a huge thing to lose. But I just think The Fly is such a good story. Yeah. And I love that.
It hits all the right notes and it goes right to the right
places.
And
I haven't even seen it in about 20 years.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
When he gets pukes on your man, and he's like,
yeah.
It breaks your man's arm.
Ew.
I still have a weird thing about people breaking their limbs.
I know. You must
have
been listening to last week's episode.
Oh, you were fucking.
You can't do this. We are going to repeat ourselves. Yeah, and I might repeat you.
And I might repeat you.
Hey, very good. I want to put The Fly in.
Okay, The Fly is in.
Yay.
Big tick for me.
Okay. The Brundlefly beats Godzilla in a massive fly versus lizard. Yeah.
David versus Goliath. David versus Goliath.
David Tellum. Remember that from Independence Day? That was Jeff Goldblum as well. Okay. Gremlins versus the Rancor. As you might remember, the Gremlins beat Pennywise. And the Rancor beat the Exorcist child.
Yeah, Regan.
Why did we do that again?
I don't know.
I think we were bored.
The devil. What tended to happen is we were so full of energy, and then as we've done.
No,
like,
I'm keeping it up this time. I listened to last week's.
Yeah. All right. So I don't have a lot for the Rancor because told you all the facts.
Apparently, that's fine. You don't need to say much if you don't have any.
The Rancor is from Dathomir. They're bipedal.
Give them back the keys, you Rancor.
Yo, Rancor. On Dathomir, they're intelligent creatures who have a history and they can talk to each other in a primitive language. And they also attend wakes and they can also learn how to sing songs. But Dathomir are very rare and they've been sort of inbred with each other. Rancors have been inbred with each other and then transferred to other planets as pets, as food, and as entertainment, as in Jabba the Hutt.
So does he come out? So if he can kind of, you say he can sing?
Well, in the Dathomir versions of the Rancor's Code.
So does he bring it out and then you have that kind of musical number from the special edition? Remember that from?
Yeah, that's so fucking, that's a deep cut. Like only like four people are going to be like, yeah.
And then the mouth of the thing being like, looks so out of place to look at the state of Jabba the Hutt and then they have these computer generated musical bits.
They're smart lads. They can survive blaster shots.
Apparently even they can run chocolate factories, especially if you look at really Rancor. What do you think of that?
It's good, yeah.
Gremlins, originally they going to do for Gremlins? Not have them as puppets. They were going to put monkeys in costume to be the Gremlins. But that idea was abandoned when the test monkeys panicked when they had to wear the Gremlin head.
Well, I think, yeah, that's...
But imagine monkeys running around. But imagine like expressionless eyes because they're not looking at them, and just these heads running around.
And it's sort of the heads jiggling slightly because it's too big for the monkey.
Yeah. And apparently, one of the studio notes to director Joe Dante and executive producer Steven Spielberg was too many gremlins. And then Spielberg said, "How about we cut them all out and we call the movie People?"
Oh, what a fucking scathing, like razor sharp whip.
And apparently in the original script, and this was the same draft just days before they started shooting, the original version had the Gremlins killing the dog and cutting Billy's heads, Ma's heads off and tossing it down the stairs. And they apparently weren't shot because then they wanted to make it more family oriented once they kind of knew what the film was going to be.
Like, it is, what looking back now as an adult man, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a sort of a family oriented movie. But as a kid watching it, fucking shitting myself the whole time.
Gremlins, really?
Yeah.
I laughed. Oh, I just thought it was so funny.
I'm very empathetic. People are always saying to me, you're always in touch with your emotions and stuff.
The set of Kingston Falls as well from Gremlins 1 is also the same used for the backlot in Back to the Future, which I found out recently. Robert Zemeckis didn't even want to use the backlot. Was like, I don't want to use the backlot. I want to do the thing. But that's all they had the money to do. And then as a result of that, they wrote the script kind of around that. And that's what made it almost the echoes of Back to the Future, you know, where it goes back to 1955. Yeah. They used the same set. And it also meant that they could reshoot it with Michael J. Fox.
Oh, yeah. Because if people don't know, that the whole movie was recorded with a different actor as...
Yeah, what's his name again?
Marty McFly. And... I was going to say Robert Zemeckis.
I was going to say Roger Avery. No, it's who plays? People are screaming. Original Marty McFly.
Oh, Sean Connery.
No.
We have to go back.
Eric Stoltz.
We have to go back to the future.
But because it was... I listened to a podcast about Back to the Future. And I know I'm talking about Gremlins here, but I did find it interesting the fact...
Do you want to plug it?
...that they could... it's called... Blank Check with Griffin and David, and they do a director series of a mini series, and right now they're doing Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, nice.
But I did find it interesting the fact that the movie is good is because they were using the backlot, because it wasn't on location, they could just shoot Michael J. Fox whenever he was around.
You always find that a lot of people who were given creative people who were given a lot of restrictions find a way to make those restrictions play in their favor.
I much prefer hearing stories like that where they're like, we had to do something and this is all we could do it with. And then rather than this being like, it was exactly going to be this in my head, I love, it's almost like you're fucking playing jazz with what you have. Also, in terms of Gremlins, because that's what I'm talking about, in Cantonese, Mogwai means devil or gremlin.
That's what it says here. Or gremlin.
Look.
Gremlins won this.
Gremlins.
It's not even up for discussion.
Yeah. Give him back the keys, you Rangor. Gremlins, you are competing against the fly.
Oh, that's great.
It is great. Okay, next up we have the werewolf from American Werewolf in London, who famously beat the Medusa from Clash of the Titans. That was like a Jago off.
Because I fucking love both.
Versus the Terminator, who we didn't really make much of a deal over this, beat fucking Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Which, like, you could sort of say that the Frankenstein was like the predecessor to Terminator. Like,
totally. There's no Terminator. There's no... Or even just that kind of big, flat-top, walking, you know, constantly...
Exactly. They both have this sort of unstoppable nature where they're constantly traveling forward. Like, they can't be broken. Mm. Terminator. James Cameron came up with this in a nightmare. He was editing a movie called Piranha 2.
Oh, yeah.
And he was editing for long, long hours, and then he fell asleep. And the dream he had was a big explosion, and a skeletal silver body was crawling towards him and terrified him. So he woke up and he started drawing stuff down. Now, a lot of people claim that he ripped off two episodes of The Outer Limits, because there's an episode about two soldiers traveling back in time to fight each other, and another one with a man, it's called The Man with the Clockwork Hand, where it turns out a guy is actually a robot and he only finds out when he hurts his hand and it's a clockwork.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Lance Hendrickson. He was trying to pitch his movie to movie executives, and they were sort of like, okay, yeah, whatever. And he got Lance Hendrickson, who was in Piranha 2, to dress up in a leather jacket and combat boots, and he put tinfoil over his teeth. And Lance Hendrickson kicked down the door and was like, I am the Terminator.
Whoa.
And then they were like, fucking love it. We're going to buy that movie.
That's
now.
That's so funny.
He also broke a door, which is pretty funny. James wasn't too impressed with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He wanted O.J. Simpson to play him.
What?
He wanted the studio apparently wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger to play Kyle Reese and O.J. Simpson to play the Terminator. So they met up, and James Cameron said that he went there to pick a fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger so that they get into a fight and then literally say, we can't work with each other. But they got on so well, and they had such fucking good ideas about the villain in the piece that James Cameron was like, all right, I want you to be the Terminator. And
wow.
It's an iconic role because he had only... Arnold Schwarzenegger had only played Conan the Barbarian for that. Mm. The whole movie took a huge break between it because after some studio executive from Conan the Barbarian heard that Arnold Schwarzenegger was doing the Terminator, was like, okay, I'm going to... This hidden clause that was in a contract was like, okay, we're going to do Conan the Barbarian 2 now and you have to come with us. So the whole movie took like 10-month break between
no
it.
No way.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And they were also wanted Sting to be Kyle Reese.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been doing a couple of films around there. He would have been doing around the same time.
Mm. So they thought that they wanted Sting to be Kyle Reese.
Quadrophenia.
Yeah. Quadrophenia was a fucking great movie. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Was that, that was an 80s film.
It was based
pretty,
in the 60s. Yeah, yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, let me tell you about Werewolf. Hmm. I have one fact here. The final look of the werewolf from American Werewolf in London was based on Rick Baker's Quiche Hound, which was the hairier dog and almost wolf-like, he thought. So the werewolf was just based on his dog, Bosco.
Well, the Quiche Hound.
A Quiche Hound.
How'd you spell it?
K-E-I-S-H. Quiche Hound. I'll show you a picture here.
Oh, thank you.
Quiche Hound.
Don't stop, make it pop.
Which I think you'll realize is very similar.
Oh, what? Looks oh,
like
wow,
a,
yeah,
looks,
it does.
Looks like a chow. If you look it up, look more, of a, more of a mane.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get this Terminator. I know that the werewolf is such an iconic monster.
Wow.
Drop it into the theater screams again. What can the werewolf do to the Terminator?
Look. Listen. Live. I
live, laugh, love.
Love. I love you. So I will give you the Terminator. No, look, I prefer the Terminator, and I think... What this competition, Mark Jacob, has made me realize is that there are a few things that have crept up outside of the, you know, the Monster Club, Universal Monsters, old guard of monsters.
We have the Vampy, yeah. We have the Wolfies.
We have Scorpion King. And then you realize
Mummies.
Now...
Fuck, we didn't include Mummy.
Fuck the Mummy. Oh. Fuck the Mummy. Mummy's boring as fuck. Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
Not you, Mummy, I love you.
No, I love my mum. But the Terminator, in terms of like just the Terminator, is a horror film. Alien is a horror film. These are far superior monsters than anything in that. I'm feeling like I'm playing my hand. I give it to the Terminator.
There is a lot of like so. Pete,
American Werewolf is derived from the what is it? The original
Wolfman.
Wolfman. Who was it? Who was it? Wasn't fucking Bela Lugosi again? Doesn't matter.
John Adams.
Original Wolfman. Shut up.
I'll cut this out.
No.
Cut out the Google noises.
This is essential. Claude Rains. Lon Chaney.
Lon Chaney, yeah. I've actually heard that name before.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so a lot of people will die by the fucking, the Creature of Black Lagoon, the vampires and stuff like that. And
say, fuck them.
They are the best. Oh, you can't beat them and stuff like that. But, as people's sort of attitudes towards horror changes, so there are deepest fears and stuff like that. Like the Blair Witch and robots.
Yes.
Because like we're actually coming to a point where there's like the singularity might happen and robots might fucking go mad.
I'm telling you this now. The singularity
is going
to happen.
Because last time we fucking caused 2020.
Okay, well.
So what are you saying?
So I know 5G is already coming out. And... they were talking about the iPhone revealed this new 5G iPhone. And then the CEO of Verizon came out and started talking about 5G. And he was talking about how areas are going to be able to bring out just loads of 5G towers. So if you go to a certain NFL stadium, they could just have more fucking 5G towers than a small town would have. Meaning that this just one entity has this electromagnetic radiation happening. Now, and excluding, it's not even radiation. I'm not trying to make you feel scared of it, but the fact that in this one area you could probably walk around in totally augmented reality goggles and it'd be the most incredibly, the fastest area for internet. So within that, the fact that you could probably, so it's been used that you could like sit down and watch an NFL game, even from the perspective of the players live.
Oh, that'd be fucking unreal.
That's what they're talking about. And then, or like change it and go to different angles, any angle you want, and you can stream it in real time. In HD, mind. So if you had goggles that were HD, that means you're getting a better view there live than you actually can with your own eyes.
Yeah.
You're looking up at a screen and it's right here. And you can also see from the perspective of the player. So that will, that if we weren't in this 2020 that we predicted last year, that could be happening now. How is that any different than a VR, you know, simulation?
Tron.
It's no different from Tron. We should have put Tron in this.
I thought you were a monster.
Tron is a man at the end of it, isn't it? We should have put the architect from.
Oh yeah,
a statistical anomaly. Yeah. Okay, I don't know where that went. I just was talking about 5G for a
yeah,
second.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking about the singularity.
I talked about something completely different.
Yeah, that's grand though. Like, it's interesting as long as people listen.
Okay, listen. Next up, we have the Xenomorph in a too big of a scrap against the Predator. It beat the Predator, and now it's through to this round to fight off against Freddy Krueger, who beat the Balrog. Too fucking, you know.
Balrog's fucking nothing, to be fair.
Yeah, fair.
Blend nothing.
Let me tell you a bit about Freddy Krueger. The inspiration for the character of Freddy Krueger came to Wes Craven by a couple of things. One, he had a schoolmate of his bullied him for years, and his name was Fred Krueger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He also, Freddy's appearance, especially the dirty clothes and the hat, was inspired by a hobo that Craven saw staring at him through his window one day when he was 10. In the
That's
middle of
terrifying.
The night. In your dreams. Staring at me. Yeah, the bad Santa came in. I told you about the bad Santa.
Oh, what's that?
My brother kept having nightmares about the bad Santa, and the mama thinks it was a hobo. He used to come in and sit in his bed.
No way. Oh, fuck yeah, you did tell me about that. Yeah, I remember that. I was confusing with the bird man, the Joe.
No.
But
that's Krueger anyway.
But yeah, that
Krueger. Well, I think that's that has him beat. Shall we move on? Beating
No, we got a few bits of Xenomorph things going on. It was actually going to be called Star Beast. Imagine that, the alien movies.
Wow.
Now in cinemas, Star Beast.
That's Alien, cuz Alien before it was Alien.
Hmm.
The fact that what was it? When did Alien come out? 70
Yeah, I think it's 80.
Alien movie. Hang on, talk amongst yourselves there for a second. 79.
What did I say? Yeah, you said 79.
There
you go. Yeah. So it was called Starbeast before that. Now, the thing that helped it get made was actually Star Wars. So they turned up the script and they were like, oh, we have a movie called Starbeast.
Very
and
clever.
And then they changed the name to Alien because they were like, ugh. Now, Guy who's infamously
H.R. Puff and stuff.
H.R. Puff and stuff. He designed all the aliens and stuff like that. The design director who met him the first time, the very first thing he said, the design director was, would you like to try some opium? And the guy was like, oh, no, I'm okay doing that. Geiger is fucking nuts. Like,
yeah. No, I'm just taking my headphones
off. Oh, right, God. But also, so he was traveling to US to try and, he had his final designs with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was traveling to US to try and give them to him. And Dutch authorities stopped him because he thought he had loads of torture porn. and his famous line was, where did you think I photographed these? In hell.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool. Like, Geiger's fucking nuts. I went to one
Is
of
he
his...
straight?
I didn't ask him.
Is H.R. Geiger straight?
Google that. I went to one of his bars in Berlin. And they had a little fetuses along the wall. And then you could just order. And every hour on the hour, a big statue did loads of flames over the top of you. It was fucking mad. Pretty cool.
Where was that?
In Berlin. It was
down
the lane.
Geiger gay bars. You went to one of his gay bars?
Yeah.
So he's gay. Or maybe he's not gay. Maybe he's a straight guy.
Who just has a gay following.
Known for swore off Hollywood after several of his works of art were stolen by Tinseltown. What am I reading here? He led to the opening of Geiger gay bars across Europe. Wow, look funky.
They actually are pretty cool inside. Like it looks like a bit of like an alien ship when you go into it. So the way they filmed the first Alien, it was so compact and so hot that multiple cast members passed out on set.
Jesus.
And one of the main writers for the Alien movies said that he based the chestburster scene on his Crohn's disease. And he says that like every time he ate something, that it felt like something was trying to burst out of his stomach.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked, man. It seems horrible, the Crohn's.
Yeah, a lot of those in like I've had indigestion. That's pretty bad. Yeah. But like fucking Crosby is horrible. I think Xenomorph wins that.
Oh, hands down.
I just went through my list of facts there, but I think Xenomorph wins this.
Xenomorph hands down. That makes it a very interesting semi. The Terminator versus Alien.
That's
the scrap.
Yeah, that's the scrap.
All right, congratulations, HR Puffin Stuff. Your Xenomorph is through to the quarterfinal. Next up, we have The Thing from The Thing versus Al Pacino, the Devil from The Devil's Advocate. The Thing beat the Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth, and Al Pacino beat the Babadook. And here we are, and I don't even think it's a competition.
I don't think it is either. Wait, who do you don't think it's a competition for?
Fuck the Devil.
The Thing
is The Thing.
The craziest movie ever. Like, so, like, the amount of, like, I've already told you about a lot of facts in the last one, because it's one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. I've watched it numerous times. I can quote it numerous times. But there's a few things I looked up for this, for things that I didn't know. So Kurt Russell nearly killed himself in a real scene because he lit a real dynamite and threw it, but he didn't throw it far enough. He didn't trunt it far enough.
Aww.
And it landed and it blew up. Now that scene is actually in the movie when the dynamite blows up and it blows backwards. He flies along. Also, they use a double amputee to do the chest scene where they.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So do you know where he like goes to? If like.
Oh, the guy had fake hands.
Yeah. So he goes to fucking.
Yeah. Did you listen to last week's episode?
Oh shit! Was on that.
You told me that.
Oh fuck! We're running out of things to say.
Yeah, we
no,
are.
But also.
No, this could be someone's first episode. Explain the fact, it's very interesting.
So he used a double amputee to do the chest scene. So when he was doing chest compressions and the stomach opened up and bit his arms off, he was actually double amputee. But also, they basically recorded the movie in reverse. So at the start, you see the dog come to the USA camp and they're like, whatever. But they travel to the Norwegian camp and it's burnt out. So what they did is they recorded everything and then when they blew up the camp for the big finale, they filmed that as a Norwegian camp. So it's the same camp.
Oh, no way.
Blown up.
Like, oh, very clever.
Which is very good. Like, you think about it, you don't need to make two. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite movies. It's so fucking ingrained in everyone's society. It's just like, it's just a scare that your best mate beside you, who you've known for years, could be something else. You know what I mean?
Do you remember that time that... Remember that time we went to that gaff party? I think we went to Shane's and James was there and he had pink eye and he thought that someone else gave him pink eye. And then we were all kind of going around being like, who gave each other pink eye? And it was exactly like the thing. Oh,
yeah. When was that? Whose gaff was that?
It was about 10 years ago.
Jesus, yeah. So anyway, as Tony said, Tony gave James pink eye.
I shit in my own eyes, okay?
That was pretty funny. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was a great time.
That was like the Irish pop punk scene back in fucking the 2000s. One person had chlamydia and it was all like, who gave each other chlamydia?
I didn't do it. Let me tell you about Satan. Let me tell you about Al Pacino's portrayal of Satan, even though obviously it's not going to win. It is said that demons in paranormal haunting cases tend to knock on surfaces three times as a way to mock the Holy Trinity.
Oh.
John Milton, a.k.a. Satan Al Pacino, throughout the movie has a habit of knocking three times. Why would that be Holy Trinity?
Are you messing?
What?
The Trinity means three. This is...
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yeah. Fuck. Not
shut up.
Holy shut Trinity. Up.
Shut up.
Jesus Christ.
Delete everything. Delete the whole pod. John Milton Al Pacino is heard and shown to speak several different languages to show that Satan, like evil, knows no boundaries. Also, a figure of ultimate evil is common in religions worldwide. Whatever. It's the fucking whatever we were talking about.
It is the thing, which I'm so glad for.
Congratulations, thing.
We've got a lot of...
it's such a vibrant thing.
Got a lot of messages on our Instagram about how the thing should win.
I have heard a couple of people say specifically it should either be the Terminator or King Kong. Xenomorph, for me, is the front runner, I'm not going to lie. I think if Anton's against
Xenomorph...
I'm putting
my money on the thing.
We decide this, so I don't think it should be... okay.
The last episode is us just wrestling in this room saying the name of the creature we want. The thing!
Dire Beast! Okay, next up we have Pinhead, who I didn't give Patrick Swayze's Ghost a good run at this, to be perfectly
honest.
I just totally bailed. I think it was because I was meeting Bob after this for pints, and I rushed out of this. So, I'm not going to do that now, obviously, because he's out of the competition, but when I say that Pinhead beat Patrick Swayze's Ghost, I didn't put up a good enough fight for Patrick Swayze's Ghost. But anyway, Pinhead's through. And Bruce the Shark beat the T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
Which is fair.
Because, to be fair, there is no T-Rex without Bruce the Shark.
Yeah.
Interesting facts about Jaws. Let me tell you this. The scene where the head pops out from under the boat was not originally scripted. Steven Spielberg said he got greedy after he saw the previous audience reaction to the scene where the shark jumps out behind Brody's head, and he wanted one more scare. Give him one more. So he keeps saying Bruce the Shark, which people don't necessarily know that's the name of the shark. Steven Spielberg named the shark Bruce after his lawyer. Here's another little fact for you. During pre-production, Spielberg, accompanied by Martin Scorsese and George Lucas, visited the effects shop where Bruce was being constructed. Lucas stuck his head in the shark's mouth to see how it worked. And as a joke, Spielberg snuck behind the controls and made the jaw clamp shut on Lucas's head. But unfortunately, considering the difficulties, the shark malfunctioned and Lucas got stuck in the mouth of the shark. And then they were finally able to free him, and then they sprinted out of the workshop thinking that they'd done serious damage to the shark. There was three sharks. They each cost $250,000 each to make.
Jesus! Yeah. How was he getting so much... What was the movie he made before that that made him get so much money for that?
There was a film before this. I don't remember what it was. I think the earliest film I know is that one that he did where it was like a trucker kind of chasing after a car. There was three Bruces made, each with specialized function. One was... would open on the right side, the other on the left side, and the third was fully skinned, and each cost approximately $250,000.
Dollary dues. Back in those days, that's fucking...
Back in now.
That's like five houses.
It's a lot of houses.
Mm.
Now,
crazy.
Bruce versus, of course, Pinhead.
Hellraiser. Pinhead, we'll call him that. So, Pinhead, as we both know, is a Cenobite from...
More like Dickhead.
Big old Dickhead is an angel or a devil from an alternative universe.
He's definitely not an angel.
We'll say no. But Pinhead wasn't actually supposed to be the main character in the movie. In the posters, so Clive Barker, Baker, whatever his name is.
Barker.
Was like, we need to have Frank on the front of the... So Frank is the skinned uncle, basically, who gets revived in the movie, if you want to see it. And he wanted him, and the studio was like, no, we don't want him in it at all. Clive Barker was also really insistent that he got real actors for the monsters in it, because he didn't just want a silent monster. He wanted an erudite monster. Before this movie, a lot of the monsters didn't say word, or if they were, there was no sort of thought or reason behind their killings. Whereas this was the first sort of thinking movie monster. So when they wanted Frank to be on the front, they were like, no, put Pinhead on it. And also, he's not called Pinhead. He's called the Hell Priest, apparently. Clive Barker, fucking... What a wanker.
What a wanker. Did he put pins in his head?
What do you mean?
Why did he put the pins in his head?
Because he was a sadomasochist.
What's canon?
So canon is he's a Hell Priest. So he was an English major... and he became so he got shell shock, and he became so obsessed with, like,
an English major in college.
English, he's in Trinity,
yeah.
And his girlfriend broke up with him over on Hinge, and he put loads of pins in his head, and then he went to NCAD and found Love.
Ah,
yeah, eventually.
That's where he got the dress.
That's where he got his dreads. But also, there was a... So, Hellraiser versus Halloween was started to be scripted, and it was like pitched between the two of them. So they wanted Clive Barker and the guy who did Halloween.
John Carpenter,
yeah. Sorry, jeez, fucking my brain's not working.
Yeah, you can get confused.
Hellraiser and Halloween, and they spent ages, and they couldn't agree on how it would overlap. Like, would Michael find the lament configuration, and or would something happen along with that? Like, or the idea was, would Michael choose someone to kill, and then the lament configuration got that person before them, and there was a big. I love Hellraiser. I think it's unreal. I think Pinhead is he's one of the modern sort of new guard that you needed. So
I respect him.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not love him. I love Bruce the Shark. The unstoppable dead eyes, Chief.
But he's
like
a shark.
A doll's eyes.
He's a shark, though.
He's the only thing in this that is based in the real world.
Those gorillas.
No. There isn't.
There you hear, folks. Gorillas don't exist.
Jaws could exist.
It could.
Jaws may exist. Jaws put fear. There's two places in the world, Mark Chigo. Sand and war. And I don't want to go into the water because of Jaws. He got me out of one of the places.
Would you be happy declaring right on air now that there's no such thing as evil?
What? No, I don't think... So, great question. Great challenge. I'm not willing to say that. I don't like how it's used to define people who do car bombs and stuff like that, or fucking nail bombs, pinning it. And they're like, this is an act of evil. Being like, no, say what it actually is so that you're not fucking creating, like, it's not like someone's born evil. There are circumstances. You need to always understand that there's a mental health issue. It's not evil. Nothing's evil. But Cenobites are evil.
Yeah, Joe, I'll give it to Jaws. Oh, I'm so hurt by this because I was so dedicated to this one.
Come on.
I'm going to get a fucking little pinch on the arm now about this.
Okay, think about this. What's a more difficult competition here? The Thing versus Jaws or The Thing versus Pinhead?
Oh, yeah. So this is Thing's got fucking going into...
Thing's big, Billy, big bollocks.
Big Billy bald.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, Jago, do you know what are the semifinals? I'll tell you. Do you want to know?
Yes.
I'll tell you. Let me finish my sentence. We have Dracula versus King Kong.
Oof.
We have The Fly versus the Gremlins.
Yeah.
We have The Terminator versus the Xenomorph. And we have The Thing versus Jaws. That is stacked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Same things we've been talking about.
But then we're also, the next episode is also going to have the Well, that technically will be this is the semi, and then there'll be the semi, and then the final. We will have the final in the next episode.
Yeah. And then we have to contact the maker of whoever wins and be like,
let them know.
You've won this minuscule podcast in Irish.
We'll send them a couple in Irish.
In Ireland. Yeah, no, we'll send them a few badges.
Hi, we're from Mother Folklore. Congrats on your win. Okay, Jago. I have a few freak encounters for you. Would you like me to read them for you?
I would. No, we've got a lot of freak encounters in for after my last drunken ask for them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we appreciate them all.
So thank you very much for sending in your freak encounters. If you don't know what freak encounters are, if you're a new listener to this, this is where you submit your scary stories about something weird that happened to you, or maybe a mate of yours, but basically these are personal spooky stories. We have one here from Ryan Stevenson, and Jago's fetching the other one. But here we go, Ryan. No, I kept coming saying your name. But here we go, freak encounters.
Freak encounters. Oh, brilliant.
I can't find the scary music box.
That's the one.
Good evening, gentlemen. My freak encounter is from my great-grandfather, and it goes like this. A year or so after the death of my great-grandmother, my great-grandfather was in bed watching the TV. He dozed off while watching, as he did often. Suddenly he woke to the sound of the television being turned up full volume. And as he woke, he saw at the end of his bed my great-grandmother smiling and laughing. My grandfather sat up terrified as my grandmother slowly walked out of the room smiling and laughing. My grandfather stuck to the bed with fear until she left the room, and when he got up, she was gone. A week after this happened, we received news that one of my aunties had died in bed. My grandfather was never one to believe in the supernatural, but even he believed the visit from my grandmother that night was an omen of something bad to come. The end.
Oh! Spooky stuff, Ryan. My condolences as well. These are personal people who died in your family.
Oh, maybe you should have fucking blanked the names out.
I cannot change this at this point.
Yeah, no, that's grand.
I'm only messing that to know, maybe. No. Thank you very much for that, Ryan. Who is this? I'm going to say it again. This is from Charlie, who sent this one in. This is from Charlie. Thank you for sending. Charlie. What happened to the boy who got everything? It's my Wonka impression. Jago, I can see you fucking WhatsApping in your other on the other group chat here, popping up on my phone as I'm looking at this. What? That's a freak encounter. Wait, I see your name popping up on. Hang on, last one. Here we go. Thank you, Charlie.
Hold on. There's a lot more. Do you want me to? Do you want to do one spooky or?
No, I'll take this one. We'll just do more next week. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Thank you, Charlie. The second freak encounter. Just waiting for the fucking
drop.
Yeah. Evening. I don't know if this is anything. I was just listening to your last podcast, but I've heard of Pinhead. Never seen Hellraiser. Which makes this story even stranger. When I was a child, I kept having a recurring dream about a box. A box that led to a world and monsters got out. There were skeletons with bits of flesh still on their bones. Demons with teeth. Also sorts of different in every dream, but there was always a box. These dreams always ended. My brother and myself would get sucked into this hell world. It was a maze of caves and we would be chased by a man. We would always get to a dead end. I would actually see the shadow of the man before he actually caught up with us. I would wake screaming and shaking. I always had to go check if my brother was in the room. I haven't thought of this dream in years, but when you said Hellraiser had a box to another world, it came right back. Love the show. The Dobberku is a dote. I kept swimming in a lake over the summer and kept my eyes peeled for one. Thank you, Charlie.
Oh!
Thank you very much, Charlie. And everyone, for listening, but especially those who actually pulled your fucking finger out and sent in.
That's
okay, aggressive. Okay, all right, thank you. A freak encounter. Mark Jago, we have a very stacked, jacked, huge jacked man.
Huge jacked man.
End of this final.
And we have a hint that might be our next guest on the show. Huge Jackman.
Oh, it's Donald. We're not supposed to say yet.
Yes, I...
well, we in all seriousness, we were supposed to have him on this bloody COVID thing. Unfortunately, it's had to reschedule. Mark Jago, do you have any movie horror based things to say now?
A little quote.
Go on.
I'll cut this out.
No, you did. You had a couple of quotes that you mentioned today from films.
Like what?
What was the one Mel Brooks came up with?
Be afraid. Be very afraid. No, we can't say that again.
Why not?
Because. I can't put another
one. No, look. What was the other one you said?
Wait, hold on.
Forget it.
No. I'll cut this out. What are you playing with?
Smoking a joint. Sorry, I'm just rolling up a joint.
Rolling a big joint.
Sorry, I'm just rolling up a big doobie. Sorry, I'm just rolling up
a big... Roll
up. As you can hear, I'm rolling up a big split.
Audio description. Tony's rolling up a big doobie as we...
Okay, no, Jago, do you have one or not?
I do.
Jago, Mark Jago, to play us out here with a spooky thing. You have the floor.
Tasty, tasty, beautiful fear.
You're just so sexy. What was that shit? What's that from? Are you big, big, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's a Wendigo.
Hey, coming after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me? Smack with me. With a big foot dick, you could slap with me?
Blasphemy.
You could dare come at me with a big foot dick and a Loch Ness monster, pussy. Baby, sexy beast.
I'm Spooky Alan, and this has been a podcast.
That's too loud.
Oh, I'm Spooky Alan, and this has been a podcast.
This is a Podstuff Headcast Network.
This has been a Headless Horseman Network podcast.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.